You are listening to our statewide conversation with Minnesota state officials. Today, we welcome back Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. It is an opportunity for you to ask questions about Minnesota's response and plans during the current COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Heidi Holton. I'm live from the KEXE studios on the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Thank you for tuning in today. If you didn't get a chance to send or call in your question this week, you can email covid@ampers.org or call 612-562-9895. We are teaming up with the 18 community radio stations of Ampers, Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, bringing you this COVID-19 information for the state of Minnesota. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is back. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I think we should go through what is changing as of today, some of the new restrictions, the kind of what is being restricted and why are the new stay safe guidance dial back Minnesota. So let's talk about bars and restaurants. I think for a lot of people, it's hard to understand why this needs to happen, why the state is closing them for in-person dining. So what kind of data have you seen and why is this happening?
Sure. So, you know, last week, Governor Walz addressed the states and, you know, talked about taking action to target the who and the when and the where of the virus spreading. Now cases are skyrocketing and the hospital capacity within our state is really pushed to the brink. And so the reality is that the who is all of us. It's everybody. And the when is all the time and the where is really what we need to focus on now, which is why, as we've outlined, the places where we're dialing back, that restaurants and bars are a big piece of that. We're targeting the places where we know that COVID is spreading. And COVID spreads in the places where people gather for long periods of time, especially when they take off their masks. So, of course, eating and drinking. And as we mentioned, you know, last week, if you are feeling a little bit more casual as you are consuming beverages throughout the evening, people get a little bit more relaxed. But what we have found is that, you know, when you get your hair cut, or you're in a salon situation, you're wearing a mask. The person performing the service is wearing a mask, and they have more protective equipment. Shopping in a grocery store or in a retail situation, people are masked up. They generally go in for what they need and they come out quickly. Those are the places where we haven't dialed back because we haven't seen a large spread. So, you know, that's why we've targeted, the bars and restaurants in the way that we have, as well as, encouraging people to not get together with folks outside of their own home now, too. That is a significant change from what we've done previously.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I am hearing people not really hearing that, if that makes sense, that they are still trying to make decisions on who, you know, if they're going to see their family or not, or how they're going to do this thing. But this is pretty serious. I mean, I feel like we should be looking at this as in, say, wartime, when we have to give up some things to make sure that we are all safe. And I wonder if you can talk about that, why we should be restricting who we are spending our Thanksgiving meal with.
I cannot stress this enough. And Heidi, I'm so glad that you brought it up, because I think people are hearing the bars and restaurants, but they aren't hearing that you cannot gather with people outside of your own home. This is where the spread is also occurring. If you're going over to watch the game with someone, if you're just, you know, watching a movie. But now we are facing Thanksgiving, which I know is an important holiday to many, many people. But that is, you know, could be the riskiest place of all. One of my best friends was still planning on, you know, oh, I'm going to get tested. The people I'm getting together with are going to get tested, and then we'll gather for Thanksgiving. And, you know, after the announcement this week, I just said it's not safe. You can't do it. They have now canceled their plans to get together with folks. And it just truly is, like, you know, take it from me, as someone who has lost a family member and there will permanently be an empty chair at our table. Like, just don't do it.
Yeah. You know, I heard the governor in many of his talks this week talk about something I'd never really thought of, which, you know, is at bars and restaurants, or if you have a whole bunch of people in your home, one of the things is you're talking a lot louder too, and that's spraying some more saliva that can pass it out there. I mean, I hadn't really thought of it in that sense before.
I mean, in our family, we've got a lot of people with big personalities. There is a lot of loud talking, you know, and I think, too, that's one of the reasons also while fitness centers and gyms are also on pause, where you're exerting yourself, there's sort of heavier breathing, and folks aren't wearing masks. That also is a place where droplets, saliva, can hang in the air for a long period of time, which is, you know, all of this is connected. And I certainly have heard quite a bit about youth sports recently. And, you know, I know how important it is for our young people right now to feel connected to each other, to feel that sense of camaraderie and community and a team. But the reality is there's 192 outbreaks that are connected to sports, and it's too concerning to let these activities continue right now. Sports-related cases are nearly twice as prevalent among high school-age children as any other age group, and increasingly they are playing a role in schools moving to distance learning. So this pause is really important, and again, we're not trying to be a drag. It is about protecting people and saving lives of Minnesotans, as well as just our healthcare, our hospital capacity, but our healthcare workers, they're getting sick too. We want there to be a bed for you if you get sick or God forbid something happens, but we want to also make sure that there are people there to care for you as well.
Now, I hate to even bring up social media because I think you and I don't really care for that, but I do not respond to people on things like, you know, about the pandemic, but I am surprised people when it comes to sports, when it comes to some of these other restrictions that Minnesota's put in place, you know, you see people just posting things. It's a fact that no COVID has been spread at, you know, through sports. And that's just not the case. Am I right?
that you are correct. And I think there's a lot of magical thinking that is happening right now. And, I would say that, like, as a mom, I would be horrified if my child demonstrated some of the behavior that is coming out of grown-ups who are upset about sports right now.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for us to teach our children about how to be good citizens, how to care about one another. Heidi, like you said, making some sacrifices. And I know that this is hard, but, you know, missing a hockey game versus, you know, the death of someone in your family or community, it seems like it should be an easy choice. And that is what we should be teaching our children right now.
Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, you're listening to our statewide conversation. I really appreciated the governor's press conference earlier this week that you were a part of. It actually really blew me away. There was a lot of crying. I know how hard it was for you to talk about personal, how you have been affected by COVID. You've told us about it many times, but it's different really talking about the loss of your brother. And in that talk, you did bring up this idea, and I haven't been able to get it out of my head. And you just said it again, magical thinking. Because I think it's really easy to think that either you totally understand the virus, you're following everything, or you believe it's a hoax. And that those are the only two responses to this virus. But what did you mean by that, magical thinking?
You know, I mean that there are folks and people who are good friends. I have good friends who think, like, I've taken this virus very seriously, consistently masking up when, you know, I'm in the community, hand washing, working from home, but I'm going to get together with these folks, or we're going to be safe, or, you know, it is somehow that they won't be affected. And I think 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, maybe, that might have made sense. But right now, I'm sure, Heidi, that you know multiple people who have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly do. It has all changed. And so, you know, it feels a little bit like, you know, we talk about young people who think like, oh, I won't get hurt or I'm immune. Or I think that is also something that we're hearing just from people in the general public, because this is so hard, right? And people are trying to justify and wrap their brains around how they can keep, you know, that sense of connection with others. So, like, I get it, but it's just not true. Everyone is at risk right now.
Well, later today in the 2 o'clock press conference, you'll be addressing the state about mental health during this surge in the COVID. I wonder if we can get a little sneak peek about it. One of our listeners had a question along those lines. They said, while I'm normally a pretty balanced and grounded person, I've noticed that I have a pretty short temper these days. I'm blessed with a job and a house and plenty of food. I'm wondering what you are hearing about folks in our state and specifically the mental health status of our citizens.
So this is, you know, I feel ya. This is, you know, lieutenant governors aren't allowed to have a lot of bad days, but I will just tell you that, you know, this is something that I am certainly feeling too, and you know, just want you to know that you're not alone. The pandemic has caused a tremendous amount of stress and fear and anxiety for many people. And I think, you know, what's so hard is that we've been dealing with this for 8 or 9 months, and now we're getting to the really hard part, and that seems tremendously unfair. And I feel that too. And of course, you know, that means that it's really important that Minnesotans have access to the mental health care resources they need to stay well during this time. And so, you know, today we will be talking a bit about the opportunity that we have to get some more resources into the mental health system. And I think that's going to be really important. But, you know, our state agencies are working together to ensure that these services are available for folks and that they are also connecting people, you know, to private organizations that can provide support. On our website, you can go to the DHS Coping with COVID website. It provides information on how to stay healthy and manage stress during the pandemic, but also offers connections to resources for individuals who are experiencing a crisis, need to talk to someone, or need that additional support. So you just go on to our website. It's mn.gov/DHS/coping with crisis, or just pop it into Google, and it will lead you there for those resources. But that's why we've also taken, you know, try to take significant steps for folks to make sure that they can access mental health services support via telemedicine right now, and have offered other flexibility so that folks can get the care that they need to ensure that funding to mental health providers is available and that they can meet the demand. We've also worked with the federal government to make sure that they're prioritizing mental health supports. And then the last thing that I would say, especially for our young people, I know this is tremendously difficult, and you know, it's something, a challenge that we've experienced in our, you know, in our own family. But there are part of the dollars and the resources that we gave to districts is also to ensure that they are able to offer mental health supports to students and their families as well. So just encourage you to reach out to your district, their social workers, counselors, and other folks who should be available to give some additional support to your child if that is needed and necessary during this time as well.
One of the things that I'm trying to focus on as this all gets really quite scary and we haven't dealt with it before and anxiety looms is to do things, you know, check in with people you don't normally. And I know we've said that before, but right now with these new restrictions coming too, it can make you feel better and you can support local businesses if you start ordering takeout pretty regularly to make sure these, you know, these bars and restaurants and community places are still there once we get through this next month.
That's totally right, Heidi, and I have been trying to, I mean, it feels like, oh, it's not a big sacrifice,
yeah.
But like, you know, getting takeout from local small businesses, and trying to post about it on social media. So last week we got Rainbow Chinese, which is one of my favorites. Last night we got Nighthawks and had some delicious cheeseburgers. So that's part of it. That is part of it too. The things that make our community our community. We want to be there after the pandemic, and so that's a big part of it. And I have to tell you, I don't mind not cooking if I can if I can avoid it too.
Well, we had an email this week. It was from Jane from Egan. She emailed covid@ampers.org. She said, I have been horrified to hear stories from healthcare workers here in Minnesota and other states and how they're overworked, worn out, at the end of their ropes from their close-up experiences dealing with people sick and dying from COVID. What can be done to help these fine folks charged with helping all of us? We are mistreating healthcare workers, and I am sick about it.
So, Jane, I appreciate that. I am certainly feeling that, too. And I think the best way to help healthcare workers is to reduce the number of people who are getting sick. COVID is spreading at a very alarming rate. And the result is that we have a unsustainable number of hospitalizations and ICU admissions. We know that every day healthcare workers are giving 110% only to see even more cases come in, and that would make anyone feel exhausted or burnt out. So the best thing that we can do is to practice and promote consistent and correct social distancing, masking, staying away from gatherings, and washing your hands. Healthcare workers, don't want your words of praise. They want you to make sure that you are masking up and preventing yourself and others from getting sick. And the one thing that I do want to lift up here briefly is there's a pretty powerful photo project called By a Thread. It's on Instagram, and Katie Howie is a local photographer who's been doing this work. And she's been focusing on people who've been impacted by the pandemic or folks who are on the front lines of the response. There's some really compelling stories that are there and give a public face to these healthcare workers and what they're experiencing. So, I'd encourage Jane and your other, listeners to go check that out, By a Thread on Instagram, and help to amplify and lift up the stories of these healthcare workers, because I think right now it's still, for some folks, just feels separate from what they're seeing and experiencing every day. But there's really some, horrific things and real trauma that our healthcare workers are experiencing every day, and people need to know about it.
We had some questions and comments about vaccines this week. Now, no one wrote in about this, but I just want to say Dolly Parton. How great, Dolly Parton.
Oh, I love her to pieces, yeah. Right? She is an icon. And, and I think just to be really honest, she's from Tennessee. That's where my brother lived.
Yeah.
She gave resources to Vanderbilt, which is where he passed away. Like, it just feels...
Yeah.
I feel pretty connected to it, and I am very grateful to Dolly, as always, right?
Yes, no kidding. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, one of the questions we had said, Lieutenant Governor, you mentioned that when you feel the vaccine is safe, that you're going to get one, you're going to videotape it for all of us to see. I am glad to hear that. I'm worried about trusting whether the vaccination is safe. This is probably because of all we've gone through this year, and I'm sure I read too much stuff on social media. But I will say it out loud, I have trust issues when it comes to COVID and the vaccine. Am I just off the deep end?
So, any reasonable person who's been living through 2020 will realize that the entire pool is the deep end, right?
Yeah.
So that feels like, give yourself a break. This has been a really tough year, especially as we've been hearing inconsistent things between, the federal government and state government. And, but I will tell you this, our staff at the Minnesota Department of Health has several experts who are watching the vaccine development really closely. And, we trust the CDC and the FDA, but we're also verifying anything that impacts the health and safety of Minnesotans, because that is our most important job. you know, and every day I am humbled by the trust that people of Minnesota have placed in me and placed in the governor to lead in a crisis. And that's why it's so important for me to roll up my sleeve and get the same vaccination that I will be asking everyone else to get. But please know we are doing everything that we can to monitor the vaccine, make sure, you know, there's a host of them now, but monitoring them to make sure that, you know, that what Minnesotans will be receiving is safe. And, you know, I certainly will demonstrate the safety of that vaccine when it comes time to get it.
Well, I'm going to admit I still have not got my flu shot, and I will do that by the next time that I talk to you, I promise you, Lieutenant Governor. But I said it the last time, and I still haven't. But I wonder if you would talk about the importance of that as well in fighting COVID.
Oh, for sure. So, Heidi, absolutely. I'm going to check next Friday and make sure that you got your flu shot.
Good.
So it's really important, especially right now as we're looking at hospital capacity. You know, we don't need people, right, adding to the, you know, to the spreading thin of our hospital resources right now by additional folks who are getting the flu. And, you know, the good news is we haven't seen a significant increase in the flu, knock on wood, but that flu shot is so important. But here's what I'd say, though, too. You know, one of the exciting things about the vaccine potentially for COVID is that what we're seeing is 90% plus effective rates for the vaccines that folks are talking about right now. The flu vaccine is about 40 to 60% effective, depending on the batch each year. So that's tremendous, tremendously encouraging to know about the effectiveness rate of the COVID vaccine. But I will say again, as someone who is, you know, asthmatic and my daughter is too, that flu shot is so important for us and for our family, but also for folks, you know, who can't get the flu shot for whatever reason. We need to take care of each other, and getting that flu vaccine is one of the ways that, you know, we demonstrate that for folks who might not be able to be vaccinated.
Okay, I promise I will get it.
Great. Good.
Now, I think that you have kind of answered this already, but I think it bears repeating. We heard from Paul G, and it's about the vaccines. He is wondering if it's going to be another food fight with other states when it comes to getting in line for the vaccines, because he said he's heard that it has to be kept very cold and that there's a lot of other things. How are you feeling right now about as the new administration federally comes in and how we will deal with it in terms of competing with other states for vaccines?
Sure. So, Paul, I appreciate that question. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Governor Walz and I, along with the Department of Health, are watching the situation really closely. You know, I know that Operation Warp Speed has been charged with ensuring that a vaccine is distributed across the nation as quickly and effectively as possible. And the Minnesota Department of Health has been working with closely with the federal government on that distribution of, and, you know, who will get it first, you know, like we are. Healthcare workers, folks on the front lines, those who are high risk, and we'll go from there, so on and so forth. You know, but we have some challenges. Of course, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the past year, the federal response hasn't been as coordinated as it should be, and now we're in a contentious transition from one presidential administration to the next, which is happening, you know, just as we expect the initial emergency vaccine approvals to occur. Minnesota does have a plan to distribute the vaccine, but we're going to have to work really closely with our federal partners to make it work. But again, I will just say that, you know, there are multiple vaccines that it looks like are going to come on the market. As you know, as you mentioned, some require it to be very cold. Some require two doses. But, you know, we will figure it out. We have to. The future of our state and, you know, our economy, and just getting back to a place where, you know, we can be together again. Our future depends on our ability to do this correctly. And please rest assured that we will do everything we can to make sure that Minnesotans have access to the vaccine and that it's delivered in a timely manner.
Many of our listeners come from the great tribal nations throughout Minnesota and are listening on sister stations and have a lot of questions for us. I did see some news this week about how the Red Lake chairman, Darrell Seeke, had come to the state for some assistance. Can you kind of just reiterate that relationship between tribal nations and the state government?
Sure. So, we were able to provide that assistance fairly quickly. Red Lake has unfortunately been hit pretty hard, and in particular in their care facility. So on Monday, we had a conversation with tribal leaders from across the state just with regards to COVID. Chairman Seeke and Secretary Treasurer Strong lifted this up as a need and an issue just with the healthcare workers and additional people getting sick. And we were able to respond. And I think yesterday or the day before, there were additional National Guard members who showed up to provide that assistance. And, you know, this is... We hadn't seen the kind of outbreaks in Indian Country that we've seen in other places across the nation. And for that, we are grateful. As we are seeing the spread of COVID increase across the state, now we are seeing additional outbreaks in Native communities. But because we've been able to build strong relationships with tribal leaders across the state, we've been able to rely on that trust and relationships where we need to respond and respond quickly. And so I just continue to be so grateful for our tribal leaders and the work that they have done to protect their communities, but also the surrounding communities. It is worth repeating, I think, here that, you know, our executive orders don't apply to tribal nations. They are sovereign nations. And I think it's important for, you know, Minnesotans to remember that. And they have been really incredible partners and have stepped up and in many ways, frankly, led and taken action before we have as a state. And I think, you know, we'll continue to be leaders in the fight against COVID.
I want to, not that we need to be the bad news people, but it bears repeating at the end of this conversation, like we did at the beginning, about Thanksgiving and what the restrictions are for your dinner this Thursday. Would you remind us?
I will. So starting at 11:59 tonight, you are restricted from getting together with people who live outside of your own home. And so that means your Thanksgiving celebration needs to be smaller. And so I will tell you this, we are getting together. It's my husband, my daughter, and I, and we will Zoom with family so that we can eat dinner together. It is heartbreaking that I can't be with my mom, but she gets it. And, I think that this is just how we take care of each other to make sure that we have a full table next Thanksgiving. And I just, you know, I'm challenging folks. We're going to have a lot of leftovers. So hashtag team leftovers. show me what you're making after,
right.
After Thanksgiving, those turkey sandwiches, and how you're getting creative. But it is an opportunity for us to remember what we truly are thankful for, and hopefully for many of us, it is health and well-being and safety, and we can get together next year.
And the good news, Zoom had announced that there's no time limit on Thanksgiving Day, so you can spend a lot of time with your family that day.
That's virtually. Right, and for some people that may not be good news, but
right?
It is, you know.
You can always pretend there's technical difficulties, you know, have that in your back pocket.
That's right.
That's Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. We are grateful for your time as always, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you so much, Heidi. Happy Thanksgiving. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. This broadcast, a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state in partnership with Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Listen to this full conversation, KAXE.org. And if you would like to ask the Lieutenant Governor a question, email COVID@ampers.org or call 612-562-9898. I am Heidi Holton for KAXE KBXE. Stay safe and thanks for listening.